Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today's episode is long awaited. I was really excited to record this. It's with the folks from Beyond the Blinds. So Troy and Kelly are on the podcast, and we talk about celebrity conspiracy theories and also just like, you know, blind items about different celebrities pop up. These two are just like a wealth of pop culture and celebrity knowledge. So please check out their podcast and their Patreon. Don't leave me once you do it, because theirs is better than mine. But, you know, maybe just check out both of us. But I have to say, like, Troy and Kelly, they're just like a perfect pairing. I'm obsessed with their podcast and their Patreon episodes, which are like a little bit more tea spilly than the public ones. But I just wanted to say, I think I might start kind of a new thing with this podcast where I just touch on recent items that have been happening before we get into the actual meat of the podcast, just because, so I don't know, sometimes I do an episode on blind items and I'm like, these all happened in 2009, and everyone's like, but what about Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian? And I'm like, sorry, we're in 2009. So recent things that have happened, obviously the Sean and Camilla breakup. I mean, to me, that was my Super Bowl. I was playing a board game with my boyfriend when I found out about it. And I had to say, we got to take a little intermission here, because I got to hop on Instagram like a mad woman. Obviously, you know, I'm not even going to read their statement, because I feel like if you listen to this, you've already read their statement. It was a little bit weird when they said that they're going to love each other. Their love for each other as humans is stronger as ever. I was like, okay, but what about your love for each other as dogs? Huh? What about fish? So my hope, if I was God and I could plan how things were going to work, my hope is that Shawn Mendes does a feature with Lil Nas X. He changes up his look, you know, from Chelsea boots to Converse to something else. And he comes out of the closet and he just enjoys his life. I also hope that Camilla becomes like a hot singles girl. Do you remember? So obviously we know Havana is a bop. What was that song she did with DaBaby? Hold on. Okay, it was called My Oh My. I used to jam out to that song. I almost consider it like the 2021 version of Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado, because it's like, it's provocative and it uses wordplay to talk about like going home with someone. Anyway, that is what I want for Camilla. I remember Taylor Swift had a quote about her where she was, you know, just another feather in the cap that makes me think Taylor Swift is bi. But she had a quote where she was like, just something about Camila Cabello being on stage and how she like is, she's sexy on stage basically when she performs. And I won't say all of her performances have been like number one, but I really do think that she has the gift of entertaining, and a lot of people look her over because she's just so cringe and things like that. So if you head over to my Instagram, it's just Fluently Forward, same as the podcast, no spaces. I put up like one of my favorite performances of her on the Jimmy Fallon show. I think she's sexy. I want her to do singles. I want her to be like a pop girl on the radio dancing. You know, I also just think we need more of that. No shade to you, Dula Peep, but I feel like, you know, we know Taylor can't really dance. Like, who is the dancer of the moment? Ariana Grande can't really dance. I feel like Beyonce hasn't been around that much. I mean, Normani can obviously dance, but, you know, ooh, what if they collabed? Okay, sorry. Now I'm getting into conspiracy theories. Also, Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian, fake. I posted an Instagram story, you know, take a shot every time I plug my Instagram, but I posted a shot. Am I good? I posted a story of them that I was tagged in from Kelly, who you'll be listening to shortly. But basically, there was a full video of the paparazzi scene, because I feel like you see a picture of them holding hands and you're like, oh my God, they're together. But if you watch the full paparazzi video, Pete is waiting like I was going to say like a donkey. He's waiting like a donkey by the door of the car for Kim to walk around. They hold hands for probably 1.2 seconds. A bunch of camera shutters go off. They drop the hands and they keep walking. And if you watch the full video of them after they were in that log flume ride, they like get out of the log. This is so stupid. And they like don't even look at each other or talk to each other. They just kind of walk away. So to me, it's just very, very obvious that this is all being set up for PR. Something else that I want to talk about is the influx of celebrity merch. I feel like everything that happened with COVID, a bunch of celebrities were like, I can't do as many movies, or like, I can't go touring. So like, I didn't have as many revenue streams. And part of me wonders also too, maybe if that's why they oversold tickets for Astroworld, or you just hear of these concerts being a little bit oversold. Maybe they're trying to like make up money from lack of touring. But you have all these celebrities coming out with these merch lines. So Harry Styles is coming out with nail polish. The bottles, they do look like anal butt plugs. I feel like he did that on purpose. And the name of the line is Pleasure. We have Gal Gadot, who came out with a healthy mac and cheese line. I keep talking about my Instagram, but I was ranting about it earlier this week on there. And what I literally found out yesterday is that Hailey Bieber is now starting her own beauty line too. And it's going to be called Road, and it's coming out next year. And she's really excited about it. And it's going to feature like hair care, skin care, makeup, perfume. And I'm just like, can we not? Like, there, I don't know, Ariana Grande's Rem beauty line came out. It's just like, not every celebrity needs a beauty line. I honestly, like, at this point, I'm tipping my hat to Gal Gadot for at least making mac and cheese and doing something different. So let me know your thoughts on it. I think it's stupid. That being said, I'm working on merch, so let's not think that it's too stupid. But my merch will be cool, okay? And it's not going to have my face or my name on it. It's just going to be like cool and provocative and talk about blind items. It's definitely not going to be skincare, because we know I don't have good skin. Okay, so without any further ado, let's get into the meat, the goodness of this episode, and speak with Troy and Kelly from Beyond the Blinds. All right. So hi, everyone. We are here with the folks from Beyond the Blinds, Troy and Kelly. And I'm very, very excited to have these two people on today, because I've been binging your podcast nonstop and your Patreon episodes, which, by the way, I feel like are kind of a little bit more saucy version of the podcast. Is that how you would describe them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So before we like get into it, I was thinking that for today's episode, I could kind of bounce some celebrity conspiracy theories off of you, which I feel like are a hop, skip, and a jump away from a blind item. So, you know, they kind of run in the same circles. But I would first love to know, like, how did you guys meet each other? How did you first learn about blind items? Like, I'd love to hear about how Beyond the Blind started.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, Troy had me on his podcast and we just got along really well. And then over the summer, I got laid off and I called Troy wasted. And I was like, we've been talking about having a podcast. Let's just do it. Yes. And we were on the phone for like an hour. And I think the next day or 2 days later, we recorded the first episode.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. We had an instant we recorded a Backstreet Boys episode together, and we had an instant sort of like connection and a shorthand.
And like, was that episode about blind items about the Backstreet Boys, or was it just thoughts and opinions?
No, it was about Millennium, the album. Like, yes. It was really like just, but I could tell like Kelly and I had a real shorthand when it came to how we look at celebrities and like Lou Pearlman. Like, we just had a real, I was like, oh, Kelly like reads blind items. Like, I like, got it.
Well, you can tell, right? And I feel like since I've been reading these blind items for so long, and I love when you guys talk about how the website Crazy Days and Nights is just like this website completely from the past. Like, even we'll have to talk about Enty, because I've talked to him a little bit and now he's on TikTok, but he's not using TikTok, you know, the way like a Gen Zer would use it.
Right.
So, you know, just finding the website and navigating through it is a trip, but you can really tell when someone reads blind items, because somebody else, I'll mention in passing that Selena Gomez is on drugs, and they look at me like I'm insane. And I'm like, oh, wait, right. You haven't read any of the same stuff.
Yeah. It makes you feel crazy.
It does, but also powerful. Right? So when did you guys first learn about blind items, and was it Crazy Days and Nights, or was it a different site?
You can go, Troy.
I started reading blind items in college.
Okay.
I discovered blind items through Britney, because I'm a big Britney head.
Yes.
And I was just like, not feeling like I was getting the true story when, like, because I was in college in 2007. So literally, like, college was like on the back burner for me. And it was all about what was happening with Britney Jean Spears and her safety every day and if she was alive.
Yes.
And I just wanted more info. And I felt like I wasn't getting it from, like, you know, TMZ. And then somehow I discovered blind items from, like, you know, looking around and stuff on the internet. And it really opened up my world. Like, it changed my entire life, really.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people write into me and say, like, this is kind of something I'm interested in, because I feel like, especially, you know, not to get political, but I feel like with COVID, a lot of people just kind of lost their faith in different media reports, because, you know, you would flip on one channel and see one thing and then go to the next and see something completely different. And along with that distrust in media, I feel like we've all kind of known that, you know, a tabloid magazine cover saying that a celebrity is pregnant is probably going to be incorrect. But I feel like this past year just kind of blew the lid off even more. And now people just kind of look at what celebrities are doing and they just kind of view it as hocus pocus. So Britney Spears is one of the examples people always ask, how do you know if a blind item is real? Which ones have come true? And I always think that Britney Spears examples are a pretty good one, because those blinds have been talking for years saying that something sinister was going on, while the whole public, you know, and nobody ever thanks a conspiracy theorist, but people were like, oh, you're digging into it, you're doing too much, I'm sure she's fine. And now we all know the truth, which is crazy.
Yeah, I remember being like, I remember when I first discovered her through like her blind item narrative story, whatever. And I went back and read old, like, this was like, oh my God, you can go all the way back to like 2001 and read these, like, what? And I remember reading about, like, you know, her experimenting with drugs and all these things that like really helped me understand like the lead up to what happened. Cause it, like, as a young person, I just like couldn't wrap my head around it. And it really helped me kind of navigate her whole story.
Yes. And we have some very fun Britney Spears conspiracy theories that I'm excited to ping off of you guys.
Oh God. Okay.
But Kelly, what was your first experience with blind items?
Honestly, it was through Tumblr. So I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
Me too. When I first I just have to say, when I first was like, oh my God, Beyond the Blinds, let me check out their podcast. Oh wait, Patreon, let me check it out. When I saw that you guys had a Taylor Swift and Carly Kloss episode, my heart sword. That's like the hill I would die on. And I do have to say, ever since starting this whole thing with TikTok, people have slid in and told me that it is confirmed. Like, I would give my life for that one. And that's how you found blind items.
Yeah. So that's how I found it, because I always felt like her relationships were all PR.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, there's no way that her and Harry Styles fell in love for 2 months. And then she wrote a whole album. Yes. And then I was like, on some Tumblr thing, and it was like
Kaler evidence. That's like
something
a good one
like that. Yeah. I think it was through like some Taylor Swift Facebook page, which brought me to a Kaler evidence, and I was like, "What is this?"
You look at your magnifying glass.
Yeah, and then I found Crazy Days and Nights through that, and it was almost like, okay, I was onto something. Okay,
yes. All right. And you know what? It's funny because Tumblr actually plays a pretty big role in that whole theory, because the night after the 1975 concert, this was back when Taylor Swift was an active Tumblr user, and you can see what people like on there. She went home and she was obviously drunk in that video, and she liked 3 different Tumblr posts of like her and Carly, just like fan collages that people put together. Mm-hmm. Then the video comes out of them kissing and she unliked the post. So in my mind, I'm like, she went to the concert, her and Carly were drunk, they kissed, they don't think anyone sees, she's come home, she's thinking about her, she likes the stuff on Tumblr. So that was kind of like a interesting intersection of blinds and Tumblr for a little bit there.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Now I want to get into some conspiracy theories, but I first would love to hear from you. I don't know if you get this from people, but something I hear a lot on TikTok are this idea of blind items being dangerous, or them being just as bad as TMZ or the paparazzi. You know, you're spreading rumors and you're hurting people's lives and things like that. I personally, you know, since I'm still doing it, I don't believe in that, but I would love to know your take on that viewpoint.
I think the way Troy and I try and frame it always is like, when we talk about blinds, we are not making up these rumors, you know, and sure, blinds can be dangerous to a point, I guess, but I don't know. I don't think it's the exact same, because blind items don't have the same following as, say, a TMZ or an Us Weekly or anything like that. And as we've said, well, kind of said, when you've been following blinds for a long time, you see a pattern with certain people. There are certain blinds where you can just be like, no, that's bullshit. And we always say, like, take it for what you will. You don't have to believe every blind we read, type of thing.
Completely. Yeah. And there's a difference between talking about something online. I also think too, like if something is a blind item, it's already been circulating Hollywood for a little bit, you know, people yeah. in the industry already know it, then we know about it. And it's just, I don't know. Also, we're not inciting anyone, you know, Taylor Swift, go force her to come out or something like that. I just kind of consider it as like, you know, you're talking with your friends over brunch. And if it's on social media, the brunch table just got a little bit bigger. But, you know, we're all talking about these things and it's just speculation. I don't think there's anything wrong with speculation. I think there's something wrong with action.
Right.
But I think speculation is fine.
I agree with that. I also just find that whole narrative of being like, this is dangerous. It's like, you don't think that you don't think that our mainstream news can be dangerous. Yeah. It's just another form. It's another way of getting alleged news. I mean, I use her as the example all the time, but like when you look at Britney's life, everything that most people know about her is through mainstream news. And it was extremely dangerous and damaging to her life and ruined her literal life.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the difference between reading and a blind item that maybe in 2001 Britney did a little coke versus, you know, something that's written in People magazine that's like horrific, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't really understand that. And I also think like being able to navigate blind items is such an important thing. I think, you know, when people who don't know how to read them or don't have a lot of experience with them just sort of jump on that website,
yeah,
it can be really overwhelming and it can look like this very dark, evil thing, because sometimes blind items are really dark, but sometimes they're really dumb.
I think it's not also, also yeah. like, it's also a larger lesson in anything. If somebody, there was this ridiculous blind on Crazy Days and Nights saying that Lil Nas X was faking being gay because no men had come out and said that they slept with him, but a few women had. And I was like, I'm pretty sure this website outed Lil Nas X like a couple years ago. So like, pick a side. So to me, I was like, that's not true. And a couple young people on TikTok were like, did you see the blind, blah, blah, blah. And I had to be like, take it with a grain of salt, but also please know, like, you're going to be on the internet for a long time. You have to take everything on the internet with a grain of salt. It's not just blind items. It's also actual media companies. You should always be doing more research. So, you know, the same standard you hold blind items to, you should also hold the New York Times to that standard. You know, everybody makes mistakes and it's always good to do more research and trust your own gut. So I don't know. That's my take on it. And also at the end of the day, there's like, there's warlords out there. So I'm like, it's not that dangerous.
I know. That's how I feel. I'm like, it's not that deep. No. Katy Perry, it's not that deep.
Yeah. There's like Jeffrey Epstein's and Harvey Weinstein's out there. And instead they get mad at the people reporting or like reading blinds about them. It's like, there's bigger fish to fry.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, that's how I found out kind of about like the Me Too movement became, before it was a big movement, before Jeffrey Epstein became a household name. You know, Robert Downey Jr. allegedly telling him about Dan Schneider. There are these important things that have transpired because of blinds.
Yes. And I know, I think you guys said that you were also interviewed for that BuzzFeed article about Crazy Days and Nights. She called me and I don't think she liked any of my quotes because I was like, blind items, like blah, blah, blah. But it is a shame that QAnon is linked to all of these sex trafficking things, because then you say, oh my God, all these blind items are just QAnon related. And in my head, I'm like, well, there is grooming and there is rape and there is sexual abuse happening in Hollywood. And just because the Q people took that over as part of their campaign doesn't mean that those things aren't happening in Hollywood. It's just that they're happening in Hollywood and DC and probably in any institution where people have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really agree with, because I'm like, this is just a group of people who decided to take one random notion and like make it their cause, but like it doesn't mean that people, like Kelly said, that people like Dan Schneider don't exist and haven't and hasn't like ruined kids' lives. Like those two things can, I guess, both exist in the same world, I suppose. And I also just feel like so for my other podcast for Dunzo, I do a lot of like deep divey celebrity relationship stuff. And when I started that, I noticed like so much of what, you know, that what we read is like, it's, you know, publicists that have a good relationship with a magazine or a good relationship with some other publicist that owes this guy something or whatever. And then it gets trickled down to us. So it's like, if you're going to take the word of a source from Angelina Jolie as gospel, then why can't I read this when that is like so clearly debunkable?
And I mean, yes. I was just about to say, even the way TMZ has handled Astro World, you yeah. know,
totally.
Just that's so bias. You know what Completely. I mean? So
and
I feel
the news came out, I think recently, right? They were like, a policeman was pricked in the neck with a needle. And then today they go, no, my bad. I think he was just punched. It's like, oh my God, you need to issue a huge retraction. And that like cuts down on your credibility. And why do we just accept this as like, they made a whoopsie, you know?
Exactly. Right. But blind items are the issue.
Right. It's so crazy.
It is pretty wild. Well, okay. Speaking of wild things, let's just get right into the conspiracy theories. Now, okay. I kind of broke them down. Let me pull up my notes here, like person to person. I want to start with a fun one that this isn't even like a conspiracy theory on the dark web. This is just one that someone came up with on Reddit. And I thought in my gut, I know this to be true. So, you know, Kim and Kanye's house that they made where everything was like crystal white, there was nothing in there, very minimalistic. There's a few people on Reddit who have a theory going that they made that house on purpose so it's easier for Kim to facetune her photos. Because if it's just one gray slate wall behind her, she can nip and tuck a lot easier without having like plants and kids' books and things like that in the middle. What are your thoughts?
Whoa.
Yeah, I was kind of like, that's a pretty hot take. I like it.
I've definitely read that that house is a show house.
Yeah.
And that it's not, because it's literally unlivable. Like the thought of children yes. growing up in that house is like actually like very dark.
Yeah.
Like that makes me really sad to think like, oh, my kids, they've only ever seen beige.
Yes.
It just seems like such an unlivable space.
I've been reading this book. You know how people now are like, the gut is the new brain and like probiotics. You need to right. keep your gut healthy. So like get in with the dirt. I'm like, all of those kids are not being exposed to any dirt. They're in like this completely clean showroom of a house. Like you said, it's like a warehouse.
That would make a lot of sense. Because Kim yeah. can just post from any room and there's no surface to be blurry or weird from her making her waist a Barbie.
Yeah, I thought that one was kind of interesting. So, okay, let's talk about some of the ones about Taylor Swift, obviously my favorite. I have to say, I think we're all on board with the concept that she could allegedly have dated women, which, by the way, what does your gut tell you? Do you think that Taylor Swift is gay? Do you think that her and Karlie Kloss was a one-off? I see Taylor Swift as like one day having a tell-all book where she just says that she's been bisexual her whole life.
Have you ever read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo?
Yes. And like literally from the first page, I was screaming, this has to be about Taylor Swift.
There are actual lines from the book that Taylor has used in her lyrics.
Yes. In the two most recent albums, like the song yeah. Ivy. I mean, that's completely about a woman cheating on her husband with another woman. Like I would lay my life down for it.
I mean, I think that there's a good chance that she has been with more women, allegedly.
Allegedly
yeah. out there, more women than just Karlie Kloss. You know, yeah. when, and it took me a while to believe Diana Agron, but once I like read more into it, I was like, I think I might like them better than Kaylor.
Yeah. And it is fun. To me also, it's like, I've also dated women before and all of the, you know, lesbian Same. Stereotypes are there for a reason. And the fact that Taylor Swift is always dating women who look just like her, I'm like, there you go. The proof is in the pudding. And that happens. So...
And I feel like the tweets about like Calvin Harris when he tweeted the beard yes. tweets, they're just like a
that
lot
blew my
of
mind
things.
When you told me that.
Yeah. I grew a big old beard to be taken seriously. I was like, who talks like that? Nobody.
Yeah.
And do you want to know something crazy? We haven't really heard that much about Calvin Harris since those tweets. Like he hasn't really been doing, I don't think he's put out any major album or anything like that. So
no, I know wonders, he worked with Pharrell and Katy Perry at one
yeah,
point.
Yeah, they did that.
Feels.
Yes, feels. Yeah, don't be afraid to catch feels. Well, speaking of Katy Perry, there is the conspiracy theory that her beef with Katy Perry and Taylor Swift was basically all just for PR, and they were actually never that upset with each other. I'm curious about your take on that, but what I'm even more curious about is the fact that their beef is all about backup dancers, and they never mention the fact that both of these women dated John Mayer. Like, to me, that's the biggest reason to have a feud, is that he seemed like a giant player douche to Taylor, and then with Katie, he's wearing matching sweaters on the Ellen show and sitting next to her like they're happy husband and wife.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they just didn't care for one another.
Yeah.
And maybe the dancer thing, because I know a few of the dancers did like speak out about it, but maybe the dancer thing just like pushed it over the edge.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who I really just, I don't like them or dislike them, but if they did something wrong to me, like, I would hate them immediately.
Yes. Yeah. Are these people in your personal life, or are these celebrities that you're thinking of?
It's me.
All of the, it's mostly Troy, but all of the above.
I think the dancer thing is like, yeah, I agree. It has to be other things. And then the dancer thing was like an easy sort of public thing that they could blame it on.
Yeah. You know, but there has to be more under the surface, because I'm sure business screw overs like that happen all the time in the music industry, but you don't get a bad blood single out of it. So I don't know. And also in that music video, You Need to Calm Down, apparently Katy Perry and Taylor Swift were supposed to kiss in the music video and the audience didn't like that. So they ended up editing it out, which I think, I don't know. I think that Lover was Taylor's album to come out in. And then I think everything happening with Scooter just kind of made her go, okay, no, I need to shut this down for at least a couple years until things are back on track.
She's with good old Joe Alwyn.
I know, Joe, which, I mean, I'm also so confused, because if they are a PR relationship, she hasn't really done much for him. Like, nobody knows about him, but she had the audacity to give him a Grammy and be like, I walked into the room and he was just playing the song Evermore on his little guitar. I'm like, I don't think he has musical talent. I've never even heard him so much as speak. Like, who is he?
There are actual interviews from like pre-Taylor times when people are like, oh, are you a singer or whatever? He's like, I don't have a musical bone in my body. And I'm like, Tree Payne has not scrubbed the internet enough.
And how good is Tree? I mean, she's done a very good job.
So if you think about it though, like, there have been moments, like she brought him to some award show.
Yeah, I just remember she was in that green dress and her hair was up. I like don't know what it is. I just know the photos.
So she brought him to that award show. The next day, he was announced as the new face of Tom Ford. You know, she brought him to the Cats premiere, because Cats was an awful movie. And people will talk about the fact she's with Joe Alwyn rather than the fact that the movie was awful.
Yeah.
So there are little things. And even like, she was spotted with him and he was wearing dark jeans and Nikes.
Yep, when Delicate came out. Yeah.
Like there are moments, and if you take a step back, and people call me a bad Swiftie because they think she's the most honest person. I'm like, but she also hasn't told us who she writes songs about. Yeah. She's never confirmed it ever.
She's always played these games. And I also find it interesting when people are like, you're reading too much into her being gay. I'm like, this is from the very first album. Her little lyric pamphlet had those capitalized letters so you could put together messages. Like, this girl has been laying eggs for people to see for her entire career. So, yeah. You know,
I was still
sitting
that
there
I,
like, yeah, yeah.
No, because I love, like, as a fake Swiftie, I love listening to real Swifties like talk about Taylor.
Oh, and we are on the eve, by the way, of Red, so happy Christmas Eve for Red TV.
I just think it's so interesting, and I tell Kelly all the time that I'm like, I think that one day she will be, maybe it'll be in 10 years or maybe it'll be in like 30, but she'll be appreciated as like a really old school Hollywood, like, she reminds me of like the MGM era of Hollywood. Mm. Like, her public persona, people view it as vulnerable and like open and real and honest, but it's crafted.
Yeah,
like it's narrated, it's like controlled by her, and it's really interesting.
Did you guys watch the documentary that was, I mean, basically a PR piece? I just found it so interesting, and I remember writing a blog post too, and I just found it so carefully curated. And even when she was saying to talk about her eating disorder, she was like, you know, so I would just starve myself a little bit. And it was sentences like that that I found so weird, because starve is a huge thing to say, but a little bit is so tiny. So you saying I would starve myself a little bit, it's this narrative she does when she speaks where she'll talk about something huge, but try to make it seem casual. So it's like, oh, she's vulnerable, but wait, she's not, because I know she has an eating disorder, but did you not eat? Like, what caused it? Things like that. So she'll kind of touch on these topics, but not really go, I don't know, deep enough into it as you'll see other celebrities go. So it does give you this feeling of like, I know her, but you actually don't. I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that she, you know, it's interesting, especially like the difference between like the first half of her career is like so different to me as like sort of an outsider than the second half.
For sure.
Because in the first half, it was like really curated and very, very sort of almost buttoned up and uptight and really, you know, intensely like manicured and perfect. And
yeah,
you know, it's like she was literally a part of like the Hollywood film system. Like they were like, we're going to use this girl to help make careers for people. You know, it's like she really, I don't think people give her enough credit for just the impact that she's had on celebrity culture. It's wild. Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to be as big as Taylor Swift without having all of that stuff happen. Basically, it's not an accident that she's number one. It's taken years of meticulous, careful planning. And she's a businesswoman at the end of the day. Even when she was 16 years old, she was sitting in on those business meetings, crafting her brand and things like mm-hmm. that. So I obviously have to talk about the Kanye West incident. For being a conspiracy theorist who is into celebrities, I know shamefully little about the Illuminati, but a lot of people say that there are these rituals where a celebrity has to be embarrassed publicly to reach the next level of their fame career. And a lot of people point to that night where Kanye West embarrassed Taylor Swift as her embarrassing ritual into the Illuminati. I think of it as Kanye West probably on some form of a drug, probably an upper, just taking the microphone. But I'm curious your thoughts on that, you know, iconic event.
I don't subscribe to Illuminati thoughts.
Well, I also don't even really know what it is. Yeah. Like, is it celebrities or is it all powerful people?
I think it's supposed to be all powerful people and like the devil rules them or something.
And maybe they like meet with like hoods on like once a month or something.
Yeah, I think that was Kanye being manic and drunk off of Hennessy, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And it is interesting, too, his relationship with, I mean, I would say his relationship with Beyonce after that seems like it fell apart. But also, I think his relationship with everyone fell apart. Like, I don't know, when I think of Kanye West, I just think of a man on an island completely alone with, like, no one really on his side, which, you know, Kanye's Kanye, but that is kind of sad to think about.
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, weirdly, like on the other hand, it's like he's this person who hasn't been told no enough.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like a child that's been given candy for 10 years and now suddenly you want to give them something else. And they're like, what are you doing?
Yes. It's tantrum behavior. And not only has he not been told no, he's been told you're a genius, which is like, talk about the worst type of dangerous praise to give to someone. You know, you can't mm-hmm. tell someone that for 5 years and expect it not to influence them.
Yeah, every manic decision that you make comes from you being a genius. So we just have to like white knuckle through it because it's at the end of the day, you're going to create some masterpiece that like, thank God, you know?
Yes. And that I feel like that's kind of how people feel a little bit about Lana Del Rey too, where it's like, we love her music, but every time she speaks, good God, we just have to like white knuckle through it and like see what happens because you don't know what's going to come out of her mouth.
Right.
That's so funny.
She like writes a lullaby about Harvey Weinstein, like rocking her to sleep. And you're like, what is this?
And people have given me so much shit for that. I'm like, she puts Harvey's name in the song. And then after the Me Too incident came out, she removed his name from the song. If you don't think that they slept together, you're taking crazy pills.
Why
else would she remove the name from the song? It could have been any other Harvey.
Even just photos of them together. You're like, oh, they've been intimate. Like, hello.
100%. Okay, let me see what is next on here. Oh, okay. Do you guys want like a serious one or a crazy one up next?
I'm like, we're about to record a Dan Schneider episode, so nothing is going to phase us.
Yeah, honestly, hit us with your best shot.
Okay, I'll start with one that made me laugh and then a more serious one. There is a theory going around pockets of the internet that Lorde is a 40-year-old woman. And like the minute I looked that up, I headed to Google Images and I was like, I don't know, I could kind of see it happening.
Is this the fucking Orphan? Come on.
She like rips off prosthetics.
I am a big Lorde fan. I have been since her EPs, and like mm-hmm. she is very articulate and smart and all this stuff.
She's very wise. When she was on the Hot Wings episode too, I was like, this is a fully formed woman.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Yeah. I think she just turned 24 or 25.
Or 40. No,
or 41. Yeah. Who knows? There's. No, I can't.
Okay, let's move on to another theory.
I'm sorry.
I think that one is pretty, that's like the carnival of conspiracies yeah. out there.
It's very.
I want to know like who was sitting at their house listening to Royals and they were like, I bet you she is 40.
Right? Also, I feel like 40 is such an interesting, like, why not maybe 30 and the industry's trying to, you know, that could be a little bit believable, but 40 is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is one that you've probably already heard of before. The theory that Beyonce faked her pregnancy. Basically that for her first pregnancy, she had a surrogate, but she was, she didn't want to say that to the public. So she was using a fake bump. And there are different interviews where she's sitting down and it looks like the bump collapses and the fact that she got her body back so quickly. I'm curious your thoughts about that one. Cause we know that, you know, celebrities have used surrogates before, but they have been pretty open about it.
I've always like, I've gone back and forth on this for so many years. Mm-hmm. Like I've definitely at times been like, oh yeah, like something weird happened. And then I've been like, no, like we saw Beyonce pregnant. The thing about Beyonce and Jay-Z is that they choose to live their lives in such a fun house. It's all like these weird smoke and mirrors. And I love Beyonce, but I'm also, I don't pray to the church of Beyonce as a deity on earth.
You're
as
not
other
in the
people
beehive.
Do. I am not a part of the hive. I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to like key somebody's car because they said something bad about yeah. Beyonce. But I don't know. I do think that Beyonce was like actually pregnant, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like I understand like the myth behind it because she chooses to live her life like this crazy, like folklore witch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is funny that she could be so big, or, you know, maybe it's not funny. Maybe it's kind of done on purpose, but people like her and Taylor Swift, I feel like when you are starting out, you know, I remember Taylor Swift would do vlogs and she would be on MySpace and you have artists who are like going on live and talking to their fans. And then it's like, once you break through that next level, your fans don't really hear from you, you know? Yep. It's kind of like you're a traditional celebrity where you do interviews, you do red carpets, but you're not going to be going, here's my avocado toast for breakfast anymore. You just kind of right. don't have access to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a Britney Spears. We have two Britney Spears conspiracy theories. The first one makes me giggle. It's that Britney Spears was on the White House payroll in the early 2000s and they had a relationship with her where basically anything, you know, if something bad was going on in Afghanistan, they would say like, Britney, you have to go out and party tonight because like we need the news stories to change and things like that. So that's a conspiracy theory that allegedly they were both helping each other out for a couple years in the early 2000s, which I get a kick out of. What do you guys think?
That one has made me laugh for so long. I am obsessed with it. If that were true, I don't think that they would like tell Britney.
Yes. Yeah. It would you know probably what I mean? Tell her team.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Britney would know that that was happening. I won't say that I don't think Britney was used as a tool. Mm-hmm. As a media tool at certain times for whatever need be. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that she was like texting like people working at
she's
the
like
White House.
Oh my god, they really need me tonight. I wear a tube top for the troops because right. I gotta get America off their case.
She's like, I'm gonna kiss a boy tonight because there's a war going on.
I'm gonna kiss a girl tonight because of the oil thing going on in the Middle right. East, you know.
Yeah. I've never heard this before. That's wild.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? I do like it when people tie celebrities and government together, you know.
Olivia I choose Rodder. To believe this. I believe this one.
Yeah, why not? You know, you gotta throw you right behind a
good one. I believe
fun.
It.
Yeah.
And we also have the theory that, you know, when Britney Spears famously shaved her head, that allegedly she was doing that because there was going to be a custody hearing in the next couple of days and she didn't want to get drug tested through her hair. So that was mm-hmm. why she shaved her head. And it wasn't really this mental break like people describe, although, you know, I'm sure, you know, the mental health was not at an all-time high for her during those years. But allegedly that's why she shaved her head, because she didn't want people to be able to test her hair and be able to see that she had had a history with drugs. What do you guys think of that?
I'm going to let Troy do this one because he has a theory about Britney Ooh. And her hair.
Yeah, because also I'm thinking, I'm like, what about eyebrow hair? But I don't know anything about drug testing. So, okay, let's hear the theory.
Well, I've always thought that that could definitely be true. I've always thought for sure that that could be an element to it. And I don't think that that's that far off at all. But I also think like Britney shaving her head was just like way more emotional. Like, I think it was way more, in my opinion, the reason that Britney shaved her head was because she had tried up to that point really intensely for the past couple months, but really like over years, to like gain control of her life, of her career, of her music, of all these things, of her relationships. And I think it was her way of kind of like deading Britney Spears. Like, I think that she knew that there was a major attachment to her hair as a pop star. And it was her way of killing Britney, like publicly being like, no, you don't understand. Like, you guys don't want me to be done doing this, but like, you have to understand that I'm like really fucking done. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it maybe ever again. And yeah, I think it was like more like of like a punk rock thing.
Yeah. And I also think when I think of, you know, celebrities back in that time, of course, Britney Spears had so much going on with the conservatorship and her family at that time. But even just watching paparazzi videos of how they would treat celebrities, there's such a difference between paparazzi with celebrities in the year 2020 and the year 2002. You know, it's just, it's completely different. I watch those videos and I get claustrophobic and I just think to myself, it is a monumental task that,
Oh,
yeah. But that, you know, that all of these celebrities weren't freaking out more. I'm like, the umbrella with the car, I would have been taking hammers to people's actual cameras. And I find it a huge act of restraint that a lot of these celebrities just put up with actual abuse from paparazzi on a pretty day-to-day basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't think people remember how cruel the media was, not just to Britney, but like young women in general, specifically women. I can say that like pretty confidently.
The way they treated photos, they'll literally put a camera underneath your legs and be like, she's showing off her vagina. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the Misha Bartons and Lindsay Lohans and Nicole Richies, they were raked across the coals on Us Weekly and we laughed about it.
Yeah. And nobody really questioned the media back then, you know, like now, I feel like now we're kind of having this rhetoric of, should we apologize to Megan Fox? And like, why do we hate Emily Ratajkowski and things like that, where nobody was questioning things back then. You just went, it's on a magazine cover. It's just going to be the narrative and we're going to keep talking about it.
Right.
Yeah. It was definitely a part of this bigger, like you said, it was a part of the narrative where it's like, well, celebrities who are train wrecks die. So if these people die, then that's like a part of their story. It completes the story. Like, I really, with my entire heart, and I've said this a million times, I really believe that people were not only like okay with Britney dying. In a sense, there were a lot of people that were hoping something like that would happen because it would complete this big, you know, Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse-y kind of story where it's like celebrities who are tragic are supposed to die.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Do you think, now this is just like a thought experiment, do you think if the conservatorship had never happened, what do you think would happen with Britney? Like, where do you think she would be in her life today? Do you think she would still be performing? Do you think she would have retired at a young age and been a mother?
I think she probably would have been a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she would have been a mom, and I think that she would have gone a more, I say this all the time, I think she would have gone like a ray of light sort of way. She would have like released music that was more inspired by her life. She would have released music about her kids and being a mom and a wife, and like when she had gone on her honeymoon, I remember she wrote on her website that she was writing all these poems and she couldn't wait to turn it into music. I think that we were denied, and I think that she was denied even more so the opportunity to release what would have been probably her best work, because it would have been the most true to her. She just had kids, you know, and she was like super inspired.
Yeah. And I feel like people forget Britney is talented. Like, she's not just this pop cookie cutter singer. She can write, she can play music, she can produce music, but people are like, oh, she gets up there and lip syncs and bad dances. It's like, no, she used to give her writing credits to other writers to help them with their career. Yeah. And also the bad dancing. I still watch videos of her dancing. It is real. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And even in interviews too, she's well-spoken. She speaks from the heart. She's very genuine and authentic. And I know some people think you're just born with that. I do think it's a skill. And I think it's an important skill in the sense that if you don't have it, you can't really learn it. You know, it's just something that you have and develop or you don't. And I mean, once again, like Taylor Swift being so big, Britney Spears being so big. I think about this all the time with pop stars like Madison Beer. Like you can have a hot body and a pretty face and a good singing voice. Those aren't all the ingredients. You do need it factor and something special because, you know, if you didn't need that, we would have 100 Britney Spears coming out of the woodwork every year, but you know, they're rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, when you think about, I have this, this way of sort of breaking down her career in my head of like conservatorship content. Mm-hmm. Like there are things that have like music and albums and performances and stuff where I'm like, oh, this is a conservatorship performance. Like Britney did, she's phoning this in because she doesn't care because she doesn't want to do it. And none of it was her idea. And, you know, you look at like the Circus album is such conservatorship. It's just such a vapid, you know, for her to have gone through this crazy experience and she had written all this music and she tried to release Original Doll, which was like an album that was about all the stuff that she had gone through. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, like, just like, we want you to release a bunch of songs with like tongue-in-cheek puns about paparazzi. You know, it's like, she never would have done that. That's conservatorship content.
Yeah. Now, having been exposed to this and kind of picking up on the signs, would you say that there's any celebrities or pop stars or singers now that you look at them and you go, I think that they're not really being allowed to be their true self? Because I feel like there are some albums, I feel like every album Selena Gomez puts out, I'm like, I don't think she wrote a single line in this, but I don't think it has conservatorship energy. But it's hard to tell because there are celebrities, you know, Demi Lovato has a powerhouse voice. So I think out of all the Disney stars, okay, it makes sense that Demi chose singing as a path. Selena Gomez, I feel like they were just trying to put, you know, another album out there so that way they could make money. Now, granted, it's not a conservatorship, but I wonder how many of these singers are, you know, truly committed to the craft versus, you know, the higher powers above them are just kind of plugging them in so they can make money.
I always say Ariana Grande.
Really? Even though she was making those like YouTube singing videos back in the day?
I'm not saying she can't sing. Yeah. I just don't think she's singing the music she wants to sing. Troy and I talked about that. You know, her influences, like Troy, well, he didn't say it on this, I'm sorry. It's like Imogen Heap.
Yes.
You know, she doesn't want to sing about riding a dick 24/7.
She's like a weird kooky artist. Like,
and she's had a lot of trauma in her life, like very public trauma.
Well, she also is, you know, weird underneath it all. Like I know people are like, oh my God, she was trying to be Lolita with like the cat ears. I'm like, I think Ariana was more of like e-girl nerd with the cat ears. You know, I don't know if she was trying to be sexy little plaything. Maybe she was trying to be like anime girl who likes to go gaming. Like there's two different ways that it could go. And I don't think Ariana Grande grew up as like a very typical popular girl who's wearing, you know, the Sheen clothes and, you know, singing about getting fucked, right? Like I think she grew up a little bit lonely. And I think all artists who are really creative do have that like childhood where, you know, they had to have a place to foster their creativity.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely think if she had control over her career, it would look completely different. I mean, my God, the stuff that she would be singing about, I just think she's like very, very controlled and she's now, another.
Why do you think that is? Like, I think she's big enough to get out of Scooter's clutches. What's your take on that? Do you think that he has something over her or the contract is just too powerful? Because I would think that she's a big enough star at this point and Scooter is so, you know, demonized and villainized by the media that if she wanted to break free of him, break free, she could if she wanted to.
I don't know. I wonder if it's like, if it's the control thing versus like, you know, she's so talented. It's like, I wonder how much of a fight she even puts up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes I really feel like for her, it's like so paint by numbers. Like she doesn't seem challenged by what she does at all.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sorry, but you cannot tell me, like, I actually had this conversation with my friend the other day. She's a really big Ariana Grande fan. And she was like, no, like that music comes from her heart and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like she releases like Twitter meme music. It's like music for...
Well, she goes viral on TikTok because all of her songs can be, you know, caught into a 6 snippet of like a fancy quote or like a little beat behind it that you shake your ass to, something like that.
That's what I think. I think that they that's almost the new formula.
Yeah, I see that with a lot of Doja Cat's music too. Like any artist who's going viral on TikTok, part of me wonders if they make a song and then they go, wait, let's put one good quote in there. So then that way we can have it make the rounds on social media or something.
Yeah.
And I think it was Beyonce who said, people don't make albums anymore. They just make singles.
Yep. Mm,
and that's so true.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I just think that she phones it in. And she's not a phone it in. Naturally, I don't think she's a phone it in girl. Like, I just think like she's been restricted so much that she just kind of, she seems to just kind of be along for the ride in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Which honestly, after everything going on with her, I would be that way too. I'd be like, I'm just trying to get through the next couple of years and like not rock the boat and just like heal and go on, like, you know, figure out everything that's happening on my own terms without having to try and keep pushing and keep reaching that next level. I mean, she's already a star. How much further up can you go?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let me just pull out a couple more here and then I will let you guys go. Oh God. Okay, there's a couple good ones. All right, I'm just gonna rattle off a few. What are your thoughts that Demi Lovato is purposely trolling the media and just saying the most insane things possible?
I would hope that's true, but I think Demi is just, I don't know what Scooter Braun did to them.
Yeah.
But
right.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, the quote that they said about aliens and alien being a term that you can't use. I mean, I feel like I'm on Twitter a good amount of the time and I hadn't even seen that on there. I was like, alien? And I just think too, a yogurt shop, like Demi has such influence. And if you're gonna knock down powerful players and use your platform for good, a yogurt shop, I mean, there's bigger fish to fry. So I'm just, I do get tickled by Demi's antics though.
Yeah, yeah, I really think that Demi just reacts a lot.
Yeah.
And that's always been their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Troy could probably talk about it a little better than I can, but when they don't have their addiction to talk about and promote an album using their addiction, which is their story to tell, you know, I'm not trying to knock Demi for that, but it's almost like, now what?
Right, exactly. Like who are you outside of it? Mm-hmm. And I feel like for Demi at such a young age when like Demi's life was so crazy to be put on that sort of like role model inspiration pedestal mm-hmm. and to live in that during a time when it maybe shouldn't have been happening.
Yeah.
I think it really like fucked up Demi's head a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think it had a major effect.
Or even back, I mean, I feel like Demi, all of the Disney folks were also a part of that whole, we're going to wear purity rings and be virgins and things like that. So this whole idea of having to live up to, you know, a complete role model version of your highest self, to carry mm-hmm. that burden, even just to be your most perfect self for one day, I feel like I would have trouble with it, let alone it's your job and it's your reality for years on end.
Now, oh, for sure.
Speaking of Demi, I have my own conspiracy theory about Selena Gomez, which is that she is in money trouble. Over the last 2 years, a lot of celebrities have just kind of sat back. COVID's happening. You can't really do much. Selena Gomez put out the Rare album, the Rare Deluxe album. She did the Spanish album. She did Selena Gomez and the Chef, the HBO show. She did her Rare makeup beauty line. She did Only Murders in the Building. She's done that feature on like a Coldplay album. And I think she did something else that I can't think of, but it just seems also branched off, you know, a makeup line, cooking, English album, a Spanish album, a Hulu show, a little bit of acting. I just find it unique that she's done 5 very different projects all within the time span of a COVID year. And I'm kind of curious why that is.
I mean, based on what you just said, all signs point towards I need money.
There we go. So right? It's basically like, confirmed.
I don't know if you could debate that, to be honest.
Yeah. And I mean, no other, maybe celebrities now are doing like, I don't know. The only other person I could think of is Timothée Chalamet, who's in like every movie poster I see. But other than that, I can't really think of anyone who's doing as much as she has this past year.
Especially because she's so sick.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. And she has, and she's got to do all those drugs too. So now that's right. The sixth project. That's the seventh project.
Plus, what do you think about how little Selena has had, like the little involvement that she's had in her own music? I can't imagine that even like her biggest singles, she's a feature artist. She's always featured in other people's songs. Those are her biggest hits. Like, she's not raking in tons of money from her music.
No, she can't. She's not. Especially with COVID, you're not touring. So, you know, artists really aren't making as much as they would. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm going to hit you guys with one last conspiracy theory before we wrap things up. What do you think about the theory that has been tweeted about that the Pussycat Dolls were a prostitution ring? So the former, I think it was Kaya Jones, she tweeted out that, you know, she was a part of the Pussycat Dolls. It was a prostitution ring. They were basically pimped out to different executives. And there was a den mother. She said the den mother from hell that she wanted to talk to. And they went back and forth denying things. And then, you know, the dolls were supposed to get back together recently. And they did that song React. They did a couple performances for it. And then crickets. And some people think that it's because this whole thing is tied up in litigation over whether or not the girls were being yachted around town.
We're going to let Troy again handle this one.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I from my other podcast, Dunzo, I did a two-part Pussycat Doll series.
Oh, okay.
Just truly deep fried myself in Pussycat Dolls content for like 2 weeks. And this is like, I would lay down for this one. This is really, really undeniable. When you look at the way Robin Anton managed those girls, the way that they were treated, I mean, you know, it's an embarrassing thing to come forward and say that, you know, I was passed around by my record label as currency and used as a tool for contracts and things like that. You know, you want to sign this endorsement deal with whatever. Okay, well, we've got two girls that'll sleep with you. Like, that's not like a come up thing to admit, you know, and I really do believe that. I think that Robin Anton is a evil, evil fucking person. And, you know, there's also, you know, you can't forget about the fact that one of the girls from another one of her groups ended up committing suicide.
Yes.
And, you know, it was very, very quickly swept under the rug. They had like, you know, maybe a week or so of mourning her publicly. Robin released a little paragraph statement and that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I think that Nicole has always been rewarded in that group for being so willing to do whatever Robin Anton tells her to do. It's to me one of the darkest girl groups in history.
Yeah. And you better believe I will be diving into that series on the podcast. I mean, I don't know. I feel like any girl group, and I haven't really gotten into the whole BTS scene or those Korean pop groups, but from the little that I've looked up online, it just seems like the treatment of those stars too is just to the bone and absolutely horrendous. So I don't know. I feel like there's something about pop groups that just, I don't know, makes way for something sinister to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
What Troy and I talk about a lot with like the Lou Pearlmans, with who did B2K, Troy?
God, I can't think of his name now. I'll
Chris
think of
Stokes.
It.
Chris Stokes,
yeah.
You look at these old men and these young boys are sent to live with them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know this is kind of going off on a little bit of a tangent.
No, go off, yeah.
But in the public eye, we're like, oh, that's so nice. They're being taken care of by their manager. And even if you look at maybe Justin Bieber being sent to live with Usher.
This
or
is
Usher
dark,
sent-
but they're actually being asked to take care of their manager, if you get my drift, which is just, you know. Like,
right.
Yeah. And for a long time, I mean, even the most recent, the boy band Why Don't We came out.
Oh my God, I remembered them. They were like big on Vine or whatever.
Like young. And they said their manager would like lock them in the house and take all their cell phones, starve them, make them perform for hours and hours and hours a day. And nobody talked about that. It was only a few months ago they talked about it. And I saw it
on Twitter only. Like they made a big statement. I've never heard about
that. It is, and see, once again, this is something where like people are like, don't talk about blind items. I'm like, I think we should, you know, because then you investigate it. And if it's not true, it's not true. But if it is true, you know, everything about Britney could have come to light years earlier, something like that.
That's how I feel. It's like, why, you know, like I've done some other girl group deep dives and like, I kept noticing this reoccurring theme of these young girls being used as currency. And I mean, these are people of no, I'm like, I read the same thing about 3LW and that was 3LW saying like one of the, it was Notori, the first one to leave the group, said like, we were being asked to prostitute ourselves to other bands and to other boy bands and stuff so that they would ask us to go on tour. Like, it's a reoccurring theme amongst people who have no correlation.
Yeah. Oh, you know, a group I could see this happening with? Danity Kane. I feel like they were just kind of, you know, and who was it, Diddy, who was in charge of them? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is funny. Once you put the blind item goggles on, you kind of view everything through a different lens, a little bit more. It's like when you trip acid and you're like, wait, now I can like see things that like weren't here before. I'm like, yeah, that's the blind item. You put it under your tongue and everything in Hollywood is different.
And you're like, you kind of want to go back to the old way of thinking because it was like easy, but then you're like, well, no, I can't.
You're trying to like vomit out the red pill. You're like, please, no, no, no. I just want to watch a Nickelodeon show without thinking about feet, you know? Yeah. Okay. Well, I won't take any more of your time. Thank you both so much for coming. Let everybody know where they can find you both, you know, in front of a paywall and behind it, because I will say your Patreon episodes are probably my favorite. But go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you.
Kelly, you want to go?
Sure. So I have my Instagram, Laguna Biatch, but you can find—
I love that, by the way. How did you come up with that?
I was drunk. As most of my creations that I've done.
I love it. I love it.
So Laguna Biatch is my Instagram. I do have a podcast, Nostalgia In Now. It's kind of on a hiatus at the moment. And then, of course, Beyond the Blinds.
Great. And Troy?
You can find— well, my other podcast is called Dunzo, and you can find me— that's the most active. Like, I have a personal Instagram, but it's like for like my family and high school friends. So yeah, you can follow me on Dunzo Pod, and then of course Beyond the Blinds. Our Patreon is patreon.com/beyondtheblinds.
Great, thank you guys so much. I'm also going to be on the edge of my seat for the Dan Schneider episode to come out, because good God, there is so much going on in that man. So anyway, I'm just so excited that I had the chance to talk to you guys, and I'm excited to hear more of the content that comes out. And thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast and indulging me in my conspiracy theory. I don't know, my conspiracy theories, but some of them might be true, so I don't want to say that they're all
Yeah, thank you for having this. This was really fun.
Thank you so much to Troy and Kelly for coming on. Please check out Beyond the Blinds. I'm going to sound like a douchebag because I've shouted it out so many times in this episode, but if you do want to follow me on Instagram, you don't have to. I'm just saying this because a couple days after every episode, I do polls on my Instagram stories, and what I'm going to do this week is polling people on each conspiracy theory we talked about and seeing if you agree with it or if you think that it's fake, and I just really want to know everyone's opinions on it, so you can head over there. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and I will catch you guys for the next episode. Bye.